Revelation chapter 15. I've had several of you tell me that you're starting to read Revelation more often. I want to go back to the very beginning real quick and point out my life verse for this year, which is Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation 1, 3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads, and blessed are those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep what is written in it, because the time is near." Now, you know, Dan made a comment a few minutes ago. He said, "I am one day older than I was yesterday." Today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Dan. But John is writing this in the day that he lived. And he believed, as we should believe today, we're one day closer to all of this taking place. Now, some people will say, "Well, I just don't believe all that's going to happen. I don't believe that God is going to really do what John wrote about." God is a man of His Word. He says it's going to happen. Every other single prophecy that is in Scripture that God was going to say, has said that is going to take place, has either taken place to the letter or it's going to. So for you to, in your simple mind, say God's not going to do that, you're extremely wrong. Extremely wrong. In our study of Revelation last week, we watched and heard the voices of many angels in heaven making a proclamation both for that day and the days to come. We heard these proclamations from these angels: "Fear God and give Him glory." We heard angels say, "Babylon is fallen." We heard them say, "A warning to those who follow the beast. Blessed are those who die in the Lord now." We heard them crying out, "Use your sickle and harvest the earth." We heard that twice from two different angels. Tonight we're going to see an assembly taking place, another song sung, and the beginning of the full wrath of God. Not the diluted wrath. Now up to this point, church, we've seen the diluted wrath, and we've seen an illusion of the full wrath of God. From here on out, we're going to see the full measure of God, the full wrath of God. I'm not looking forward to it. Miss Desi told me on the way out as this morning as she was leaving, she said, "I am not going to read ahead anymore in the book of Revelation." Well, that kind of, that's okay. You know what I asked, right? Why? She said, "It's too scary. It's too scary." Well, it's getting ready to get scary. Chapter 15, Revelation chapter 15. There's eight verses, so we're going to cover all eight tonight. "Then I saw another great and awe-inspiring sign in heaven. Seven angels with the seven last plagues, for with them God's wrath will be completed. I also saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had won the victory from the beast, his image, and the number of his name. And they were standing on the sea of glass with harps from God. They sang the song of God, God's servant, Moses, and sang in the song of the Lamb. And this is the song: Great and awe-inspiring are your works, Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Lord, who will not fear and glorify your name? Because you alone are holy, because all the nations will come and worship before you, because your righteous acts have been received. After this, I looked, and the heavenly sanctuary, the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. Out of the sanctuary came the seven angels with the seven plagues, dressed in the clean, bright linen, with gold sashes wrapped around their chests. One of the four living creatures gave the seven angels seven gold bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. Then the sanctuary was filled with smoke from God's glory and from His power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." Let's pray. Lord, we again thank you for allowing us to come into your house this evening. There's many things that we could have been doing, but Lord, we chose to come to your house tonight. Sitting by coincidence, we're here because you've drawn us here. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and help us to see this scripture tonight. Help us, Lord, that we might understand it, that we might be able to explain it to others later on in life. This is coming quickly. It's coming quicker, I believe, than any of us realized it was coming. So, Lord, I pray that you'd prepare us to be a sanctuary, true and holy, tried and true. Lord, help us to be prepared to do and to be who you created us to be. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. And all God's children said, amen. As we look at this scripture tonight, we kind of have a break, sort of, kind of. Miss Donna Tomberlin's always saying, you know, God, you know, it's so hard, it's so heavy. What we're reading, there's just dealing with what we're seeing and the consequences, and it drains you. Well, tonight we get a little bit of break. It's a lot of, you know, a little bit of monologue, but it's preparing us for the worst of the worst. It's going to get bad. So what is it that John did see tonight? He saw seven angels with the last seven plagues. Now, church, at this point, we do not know any details, unless you've read ahead. We don't know any details about the wrath that is in those seven bowls. We do know that Revelation has told us that the plagues would increase and intensify, and they will come more frequently. We have already seen seven seal judgments. We've already seen seven trumpet judgments. And we heard that there will be seven thunder judgments, but God didn't allow John to write them. Tonight, we come to see the seven angels being prepared and presented with the last and final judgments that will fall on this earth. It almost seems like a calm before the storm. It's almost like a silence. It's like you see somebody walk to a podium, as I've done many times here at this church before and other churches. I walk to the podium as y'all are milling around in fellowship, and as I stand here, what generally happens? Yeah, things get quiet. They say, hey, there's Pastor, he's coming. As these angels are presented these bowls tonight, people in heaven know what's going on. People on earth don't. The last and final judgments are getting ready to be poured out on the earth for the rebellious people who were on this earth, those who would not accept Christ, did not accept Him prior to the rapture, and those who refused to accept Him during the tribulation, but they accepted the mark of the beast. This is a righteous judgment, as we'll see a little bit later. As I said a moment ago, we do not know yet what these bowl judgments will bring. But verse 1 tells us that when they poured out the wrath of God will be complete. It's done. It's finished. This gives us as believers a sense of relief. But church, what is coming for those who remain on the earth? Those who refuse to accept Christ, those who are worshiping the image of the beast, these last seven bowl judgments will bring their doom. At this point in time, they won't have an opportunity. The only ones that will remain to accept Christ, the only ones who won't fall at the feet of the beast are the remnant that's hiding and just watching and waiting. Well, what are they watching and waiting for? The wrath to be over, the millennial reign to start. How many is that going to be? I don't have a clue. It might be 5, it might be 500, it might be 5,000. I don't have a clue, but it's going to be a small number that makes it through the tribulation period, a very small number. Well, I think I can make it. I'll roll the dice. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Why when you can accept Christ today? Why when you can accept Christ now? Verse 5 through 7, bless you, give us a little more detail about the seven angels. We first see the angels come out of the holy sanctuary, or the tabernacle of God, in verse 5 and 6. This tabernacle, where they're coming out from, we need to understand that this is the most holy and innermost chamber where God presides. These angels have no agenda, none. They have no agenda whatsoever at all, other than to fulfill that which God has instructed them to do. John Phillips says, these angels do not act with impatience or a spirit of independence, but in strict accord with the will of God. What they are about to do is terrible, but is absolutely right. No stain or spot of sin is mingled in their acts. No hot passion of their own is mingled with these acts. These angels are only following the directive God has set before them to the very letter. Well, Brother Kyle, why are you stressing this so much? Well, a few years ago, there was a movie that came out, and it was a big movie, big blockbuster hit in Hollywood, that refuted what we're talking about tonight. Now, I watched the TV version. The TV version was bad enough. Youth, what movie am I talking about? Any ideas? No ideas at all. The theme behind this movie was this. Tribulation was getting ready to take place on earth. And an angel, which was Michael, he rebelled against God and came to earth to try to save man. What movie? Legion. So he comes to earth and he's trying to save man, from the wrath of God. This thought process was put in the minds of man, us. What mindset is it that you think was put in? God won't do that. Yes, he is. God is going to bring about this judgment. God's going to bring about this tribulation. Well, how do you know, Mr. Smarty Pants? Because the Bible says it's going to happen. You know, there's some things that I can't count on. I can't count on it if Kyle Jr. comes up to me tonight and says, Dad, look, I'm going to cut the grass tomorrow. I can't count that grass is going to be cut tomorrow. Should be able to, but I can't. I know that it's going to get cut in the next 2 or 3 days. Right, honey? But tomorrow, I can't count on that. There's a lot of things I can't count on. But I can count on the Word of God being the Word of God and it being right and it being correct. Brother Kyle, how can you say that? Because it always has been. Well, I don't see it that way. I don't see how you can see it any other way. Listen, God's not going to change His mind at the last moment and say, I said all that, but I'm not really going to destroy man the way the Bible says I'm going to. Yeah, he is. Why? Why won't he change his mind? Why is he doing what he's doing? Because man's rejection of his son, his full weight, the full measure of the cross is getting ready to come unglued. What God is doing is he is punishing those who will not accept his son as their personal savior. Is it fair? Have they not received every chance and every opportunity to accept him? Absolutely. If you're alive today in this age that we live in, which is called the church age, every single day that you wake up, you have an opportunity to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Every single day. And if you don't, is that God's fault? No. You're alive. He's extending grace. I should have been dead at 17 years old for the way I was living and the way I was acting, the way I was treating people and the way I was treating God. But God extended grace to me, and on January the 18th of 1989, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. Did I deserve that grace? Absolutely not. None of us deserve any grace. That's why Scripture says, when is the day of salvation? Today. 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 Well, why do I need to accept Christ today? That you don't have to go through this suffering that we've talked about for the past. June will be a year we've been in the book of Revelation. A year. That you don't have to live through any of that. Verse 6b tells us how these angels were dressed. Now recall with me other occasions when angels have been present in the book of Revelation. We do not hear John giving a detailed description of what they were wearing. Tonight we do. Warren Wiersbe says, the angel's clothing remind us of the priestly garments, for their service is a divine ministry. John Phillips says this about the angel's dress. For their service is a divine ministry. For they are arrayed in pure linen. They are characterized by a divine restraint. For they are girded across the breast with golden girdles. They are calm and dispassionate in what they do. There's no facial expressions. What they're doing, they're walking out of the holies of holies. And as they are walking out of the holies of holies, where God is, this beast that's there, not the beast, but one of the beasts, the living beast, hands the angel the one of the last seven plagues. The angel receives one of those plagues. And what he does is this. Waits for the appropriate time when God tells him to, and he pours the wrath of the bowl on the earth. He has no agenda. This isn't personal to him. He was a being created to serve God. His mind is not going to be changed. And he's robed in the righteous act in which he's getting ready to do. Well, what is that? The will of God. Now, verse 7 tells us that these angels walk out of the holy sanctuary of God, that one of the four living creatures that is seen in Revelation 7:11 hands each one of them a bowl filled with wrath and the final undiluted wrath of God. There's no mercy mingled in here. There's no grace mingled in here. Why not? God is a God of love, mercy, and grace. Yes, He is, to this point. To this point. But when the seven trumpets are sounded, opportunity's gone. As they depart the sanctuary of God and are handed their bowls of wrath, verse 8 tells us that the holy sanctuary of God fills with smoke from God's glory, and the sanctuary is sealed with God's presence until the time of all of the seven bowls are emptied and God's wrath on earth is complete. Now, this is reminiscent to us of the days where the Jews, the Day of Atonement, when the Jews would go into the Holies of Holies one time a year, and they would carry a bowl of blood from a spotless lamb, and they would sprinkle this blood on the altar to take away the sins of all those who were in the nation of Israel. That happened one time a year. Now, what do you mean? Church, since Calvary, the holy tabernacle has been opened. Man has been able to come in the presence of God at free will. Tonight, on this day, it will be closed until God is finished with His wrath on man. So what you're saying, it used to be that we could only walk into the presence of God one time a year to ask sacrifices, you know, to have the sacrifice and we could atone for our sins. One time a year. Since Christ died on Calvary, we have free reign to this room, this throne room of God. When we say, Lord Jesus, You're in His presence. Amen? But on this day, when the bowls are passed out and the smoke fills the sanctuary, it's going to be closed until the wrath of God is complete. I don't see the big deal. God closed the door. God closed the door on mankind. And it's not God's doing. It's our doing. It's nothing that God did. It's not even that He wants to do it. But He's going to do it. Well, Brother Kyle, what is it that you want me to see here? There is a day coming. I don't know when it's coming. I don't know exactly, but I can see it's coming. I can see it's coming faster than anything that I can. It scares me, and I think she's getting scared at how scared I'm getting at what I'm seeing in this world and things that are taking place. I don't know when it's coming, but I know it's coming soon. I can look at the parable of the fig tree, and I can see that time started ticking when Israel became a nation of Christ's return. I can feel it coming. And church, please understand me. The day is coming when God shuts His sanctuary door, and there's no bit of knocking that we can do to compel God to open that door until the full measure of His wrath has fallen upon this earth. You can knock, you can beg, you can say, okay, I see Him, I'll accept you now, and that door is closed. Why wait? The door is now open. Right now, God is waiting, wanting you, calling you to Himself. How long do we think this door is going to remain closed? I don't know. If we look at what I said just a few minutes ago, at what God said, or John wrote earlier in the book of Revelation, we know that as the plagues come, they're going to grow in intensity, and they're going to grow in the shortness of time between the next one. So as we saw the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and we know that the seven thunder judgments took place, now we come to the seven bowl judgments, and we've got probably about 3 years for all of them to take place. It's going to happen like that. So I don't know. I don't know how long. It could be 3 years that the sanctuary of God is closed. Now, let's get on to a little happier scenario. John also saw an assembly of saints in verses 2 through 4. Look at verse 2. John writes, I also saw something like the sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had the victory from the beast, his image and the number of his name, were standing on the sea of glass with harps from God. They sang the song of God's servants Moses, and they sang the song of the Lamb. Now, Warren Wiersbe says, John saw the believers from the tribulation who had overcome the beast and his system. These are the people who love not their lives unto death, seen in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Since they did not cooperate with the satanic system and received the mark of the beast, they were unable to buy and sell, which was seen in Revelation 13:7. They were totally dependent on the Lord for their daily bread. Some of them were put into prison, some were slain, but all of them practiced faith and patience. This entire scene is reminiscent of Israel following the Exodus. The nation had been delivered from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, the Passover. The Egyptian army had been destroyed at the Red Sea. And thankfulness to God, the Israelites stood at the sea and sang the song of Moses, seen in Exodus 15. They were thankful. They were thankful that God had rescued them out of slavery. These tribulation saints are going to be singing the same song, because God has rescued them out of tribulation. Now, notice here that it is possible to be victorious over the world system. These saints were, before the sanctuary is closed, before God shuts the door, there is an opportunity. Notice that you can be victorious over the world system. One does not have to yield to the mark of the beast. They will choose to accept the mark. Now, other than who? Other than who? There is one instance where those who have heard the gospel, once they've heard the gospel today and they refuse Christ today, if the rapture takes place, will they have an opportunity, or will they fall full frontal in front of the beast. They'll have no other opportunity. They'll have no other opportunity. Scripture says that if you refuse Christ today, that you will believe a lie. What's that lie? That Satan is God. In other words, you will worship Satan and you will call him God. If you do not accept Christ today, the day of your salvation, you will worship the beast. No, I won't. Yes, you will. You really will. Now, also notice this, that there is no complaint here from the suffering saints about the way God allowed them to suffer during the tribulation. That doesn't sound like the modern-day Christian, does it? No, oh me, God, you know, God, I had to eat at McDonald's because Bojangles was closed. No, we don't hear them talking or saying anything to God about the suffering they had to go through with tribulation. These people have come full circle. They realized that Jesus was the Son of God and accepted Him as their Savior. For doing so, they paid a heavy price by the beast. Now they stand in the presence of God singing praises unto Him. What a beautiful picture. Church, there's a great lesson to be learned here tonight. The judgment of God is going to come. Do you know when? I don't have a clue. I can see that it's coming. I can see the way that we're accepting right as wrong and wrong as right. It's coming quicker than I thought. We're seeing the beginning stages of total decay of what moral fiber is left in this world. We're not to comply with the new order of madness. We are to stand on the side of God, and if persecution comes, we need to understand that what God has prepared for us is way outweighs any persecution we may have to suffer. May have to suffer. Please understand that this is most assuredly coming, without a doubt. God's perfect will come to completion. What should we do? Sound the alarm. Get as many people ready as you possibly can. Ready for what? The rapture of Christ. The rapture of the church. Does anybody here tonight want to, you know, try and make it a year through tribulation? Anybody? There's nobody on this earth who has hurt me bad enough that I say, I wish that you would have to suffer through 7 years of tribulation. We need to sound the alarm. Let people know what John has written to us as a warning and warn others. Amen? Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, come down and let me show you what Scripture says every person has to do. Not a Baptist thing or a Methodist thing. It's a Jesus thing. Jesus said we must be born again. And if you're here tonight and you've never done that, I don't want you to suffer through tribulation. Christ could come tonight. There's nothing that's keeping Him from coming tonight. All prophecies prior to His rapture of the church, they're fulfilled. I'm waiting for a sound. I'm not looking for any more signs. If you're here tonight and you need to accept Christ, will you come? If you need to come tonight and just get on your face before God, knowing that you haven't been what Christ has wanted you to be, and you haven't been sounding the alarm, the altar's open for you. Lord Jesus, we love You, we praise You, we thank You for the message tonight. Lord, prepare our hearts that we might be prepared for You. Lord, that we might prepare as many as we possibly can before You come. In Jesus' name, I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?